What's up, guys? It's Breon Bradley over here. I'm actually doing my first podcast as a mortgage banker today because there seem to be a lot of myths out there about mortgages and finance and what's going on. So I just wanted to jump right into it. I didn't even want to try to ease my way over here. I just wanted to go right in there very aggressive-like. So if you don't know already, again, I am a mortgage banker. For legal reasons and mainly licensing reasons, I'm not going to disclose the company I work for. I am not in any legal way telling you what interest rate or what cost associated with your loan, which are the two big things for legal purposes, are going to happen. All I'm going to do today is just debunk a few myths that I've heard for the last 5 years from people. And the easiest way I'm going to start into it is about 99% of the people I talk to on the phone have zero idea what the hell is going on with their mortgage. You know, they can tell me the loan type, or they can tell me the, you know, what their interest rate is, or they can tell me what their monthly payment is. But those are all surface level questions or statements, okay? And how that's supposed to be combined with their overall financial picture usually is a big comes with a huge kaput, okay? So what I wanted to do is I pulled up a few different websites and I wanted to just read these off. These ones are mortgage myths, and I'm bringing these ones up because these are questions that when I specifically went into Google, I said, top 10 questions you should ask your lender. And these are the questions that I feel like people immediately print off, and then when they get on the phone with their lender, don't know how to go about having a conversation with somebody. They just get super aggressive about this instead. So, let me help you guys out for a second and just break this down. The first question, and this one's coming from NerdWallet today. This one is the 13 mortgage questions to ask. And I'm not going to give their answers because I don't care. Because I work in mortgages. They are a blogger. But the first question, Mr. Mortgage Banker, which type of mortgage is best for me? Now, I can be completely bland here and candid and say, if somebody said that to me, I would praise them wholeheartedly and call them the best borrower ever. Because I've never once in the last 5 years, out of the thousands of people I've spoken with, asked me what is the best program for me. Because there are a million and one different programs, and I don't know how to answer that without getting a little bit into a deeper conversation with them. But if they started that way, it lets me know they're genuinely concerned and they're genuinely interested in finding the best program for themselves instead of telling the banker, this is what I know to be true. My Uncle Bob, who never worked in finance but has had 3 houses in his lifetime, told me this is what we should be doing. Well, okay, and that's awesome, but that doesn't always equate the truth there. But if somebody said, which type of mortgage is the best for me, I would give them, again, praise. But the second one is, how much down payment will I need? So this one is purchase specific. And with this one comes the age-old myth, 20% down. That is a whole bold-faced lie. You do not need to have 20% down. There are, again, a million and one different loan products and programs, okay? So what you want to do is if you want to buy a house, but you don't have the funds for it, there are programs, they are special programs, so you will need to get with a mortgage banker or a mortgage specialist to go over that with you specifically, that are called zero down payment assistance programs, okay? Now, if you're going to do that, you just need to ask the banker if their company provides it. For example, my company does not, previous company I worked at did. So they need to ask, does the company provide it? If they do, awesome. Are they trained in it? Because in my last office, I wasn't, but there was one person who was. So out of a whole company, we had one person who could do zero down payment assistance programs in the whole office. So when you're doing these things, these are the kinds of questions you need to ask, not how much do I need down, because, or I can never buy a house, I can never afford a house because it's 20% down. That is a lie. The most common one that a lot of people are familiar with is 3.5 down on an FHA program. Quicken Loans has one that says they'll do 3% down for a Freddie Mac loan, which is specifically for their company, and that's how they legally set it up, and that's okay. But there are a million programs down there. So don't get stuck in that head cycle where I have to have 20% down. Because the easiest way to explain it is on a $100,000 home, that's $20,000. Less than 1% of the U.S. right now has more than $1,000 in their savings account. Now, I mean that as savings account. I don't mean that as 401k or, you know, cash on hand. I'm talking liquid in a checking or savings account. Checking account, it's less than $500 by the end of the month when all bills are said and done. I know a lot of people think I'm doing better than that. Good for you. Again, these are averages. So, argue it as you please. But, number third question. Do I or the property I'm buying qualify for any of the down payment assistance programs? We just talked about that. Again, you want to talk to your lender and make sure that they offer it as well. They'll tell you. If they have that program there, they can tell you if you qualify, and they'll go through it with you. For example, I'm in Arizona. The Arizona Down Payment Assistance Program, even though I wasn't actually licensed for it, I do know the ins and outs of what happened for it, was there was a special class that you as the borrower had to take and then turn the certificate into the lender showing that you took it and understood what had happened. So, that's something that you would have to do, and your lender can tell you and get you pointed in the right direction and set you up with the class in Arizona, as long as you had that completed, okay? But here's the fourth one, okay? So it's by the fourth question that this is where everybody starts a conversation with me. I always like to start with, my name's Breon Bradley. I'm with, you know, X company. What can we do for you today? And I'd have to say normally the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, what's your interest rate? That question is almost a very invasive question to the lender. And specifically speaking, to the mortgage banker like myself. Because it's not like we want to keep that information from you. It's that I don't have enough information to tell you what's going on. Because easiest way to explain it is, again, there's a million and one programs. Doesn't mean every lender offers them. But they're going to offer multiple programs. My company, for example, we have over 17 programs. Each program has different terms. And with those different terms come different interest rates. Each term should have anywhere from, I'd say, 10 to 15 interest rates, and that's over three separate terms for each program. So until we have a better conversation, I can't really whittle it down for you. Well, just tell me what the 30-year fixed rate is then. Well, again, that all you did was just give me a term. You didn't give me enough to work with. So this is, again, just to show you that we need to have a conversation saying, what's your interest rate, or I want to know the VA 30-year fixed. That's not enough interest information for me to tell you and have you take back and actually physically and financially work with, okay? There's going to be a million reasons why that question is an inappropriate question to ask. At the end of the loan, when you're done talking with your initial setup, you should have a guess on what the interest rate is, but that should not be one of the first questions you ask. And if you didn't hear it by the end of the conversation, then it's okay to ask. But asking up front, again, I do feel like is a personal attack on the banker, because we want to answer, we just don't have the information yet. Now, number five is, what's the annual percentage rate? I could go into detailed depth about what annual percentage rate is, or if we want to get fancy, APR. Almost everybody's going to be familiar with that three-letter phrase right there, APR, because of credit cards. But it doesn't equate over to mortgages quite as well. Okay, but to simply put it, APR is taking the cost of the loan, so any type of cost, rolling it all up and dividing it by the actual loan amount, and then adding that to the interest rate, and that's how you get the APR. Okay, now why that was important and why that matters for borrowers, which again, 90% of people don't care about. But why that matters to you and why that should matter is that's how you determine if this is an expensive loan. Because the closer to your interest rate, let's say it's 4.5%, the closer to that 4.5% it is, the better. You're never going to have a mortgage with a 4.5% interest rate and an APR that's less than 4.5%, because that's the rate. So all they're doing is they're adding the cost again as a percent, and they're adding it to the interest rate. So it's never going to be less than the actual rate itself. It could be higher, and that's almost always what it is, because there's always some sort of cost, and that's what they divide out and roll into the loan. But again, if your interest rate is at 4.5% and your APR is at 5%, that's a reasonably cost loan. That's not that crazy. Now, if your interest rate's 4.5% and your APR is at 7%, that's a pretty excessive amount of cost right there that they've just rolled into the loan. You might want to be a little leery, okay? But that's what APR is. Most people, it really shouldn't matter. But for those of you who think you're financially savvy, I am bashing on those who do think they are, because a lot of people think that they are smarter than the banker, that they're going to work one over, almost like they're used car salesmen. We're in a regulated industry. You're not going to work something over on us. We have laws that we have that prohibit us from doing certain things, unlike car finance laws that are still pretty much open to the Wild West, along with commercial real estate. But residential, in your house, go for it. Okay? Now, question number 6, though, is, are you going to be doing a hard credit check on me today? The answer is always 100% going to be yes, because we need to look at your credit. We need to look at it. Well, I can just tell you what my score is. Fantastic. I didn't ask what you thought your score was. I asked that we need to pull your credit. We need to do a hard inquiry. The reason behind that is, one, it's going to tell us the credit score from all three major bureaus, and it's going to be accurate, unlike Credit Karma, Discover It, or any of these other programs that give you your so-called credit, quotations there, for free. When you go to these places, think of it like your daily calorie intake, or when you read the label on the side of a food package that always says this is based off of a 2,000 calorie diet. So, keeping that in mind, when you go to Credit Karma, for instance, your score is usually going to be much higher than what it comes in for doing a hard inquiry. And no, it's not because we did a hard inquiry that it dropped that far. It's because a hard inquiry actually shows what true credit is after everything's all said and done. It's not an overview or an oversight or a suggestion. It's a true hard inquiry. Okay? But the second thing on that is, once we have that, it will tell us a few things. One, it will tell us all of the debts that you have already financially and legally signed yourself up for. So, your mortgage, your credit cards, your car payments, student loans, personal loans, all that fun stuff will show up on the report. So, we'll know if we can actually qualify you. Because if we have missed payments on there, or there's, you know, something wanky on the credit, rather waste time up front and figure it out than waste 3 weeks and figure it out later. Ask up front, get information up front. Ask to wait, and you're waiting to get further behind. So, we're going to pull all that information, and then we're going to look at it, and we're going to say, yes, their history is good, their score qualifies. The third thing we're going to look at is what is their total debt added up then? What does that look like? Once we have all of those added up and it's just the minimum payments that we care about, we do not care about anything above and beyond that. If you hear somebody else say, well, you know, I pay X amount of dollars more, good. That just means you're trying to pay off your debt. But that doesn't matter for us. Okay? So we're going to add those all up. And then we're going to take that number and we're going to divide it by the income level that we had already discussed. And we're going to look on a monthly basis, do you qualify, or are you too far in debt that we could not put you further in it? Because again, we are regulated. The government comes in and says, this is the threshold that you cannot cross. And I'm not going to be giving specifics here. Because when it comes to giving specifics, you need to speak with your local lender about that. Okay? You need to be speaking with your banker or financial, your mortgage advisor. You need to be speaking with those people. Okay? Don't speak to a financial advisor, by the way. They're not actually trained in mortgages. Their job is to tell you how to spend your money. 9 out of 10 every financial advisors just care about the rate, which usually ends up burning our clients, and then they have to refinance again a few months later anyways because they didn't take the advice the first go around. So don't listen to them, and I'm not saying that as like a I'm against them thing. I actually have one. I trust him with everything except for his advice on mortgages. He usually asks me, what do I do? He actually called me saying, my mom is in a financial hardship with her house. What do we do? Boom. I told him how to fix it. And not only did we fix her mom's finances, but he was actually able to go ahead and get her in a better financial position because of the equity that she had in her home. So, I don't trust financial advisors when they tell me how to do mortgages specifically. Okay, so you need to speak with a mortgage financial advisor. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Okay? And then the last thing that we're going to check on there is if, and this is one, these are all on the credit report. This all shows up on there. Is if you've had any bankruptcies, if you've had any foreclosures, if you have any items in collections, if you have any judgments or liens, it pretty much, if you've ever not done something you were supposed to financially, it will show up on there and it will tell us. And most of the time, it's kind of, well, I shouldn't say most of the time, it's 50-50. It could mean that it doesn't matter. We can still do the loan. It could kill the loan and we have nothing that we can do then. But this way we know and we didn't waste your time. Now, question number 7. Do you charge for an interest rate lock? I'm going to pair that one with question number 10, which is, do you have an origination fee? So both of these questions are asking about cost. So to explain what cost on that is, interest rates or mortgages have 3 costs. You have origination, which is what the lender charges to do the loan. Okay? And that can be your lender, that can be your broker, that can be your bank. It's whoever is setting up the loan, it's them paying themselves to do the loan. Okay? So it's what their cost is. Second thing is third-party fees. And by third-party fees, we're talking title work, title insurance, mobile notaries, we're talking local appraisers. Those are all things that you would want to have done locally. So those costs are typically, they are what they are. It's a competitive market where you live. They're the ones regulating that, not your lender. Those are the kind of costs that are outside of your lender's hands. Because, for example, again, I'm in Arizona. I wouldn't want to send an appraiser for Phoenix to North Carolina. My appraiser is not going to know anything about the North Carolina economy. It's not going to know anything specific about the housing development. And it's not going to be able to give a true assessment. That'd just be a waste of both of their times and ruin the whole experience. So, I want to make sure that that's done. Same thing with title work. If you live in Colorado, you want to make sure that your property is recorded in Colorado, in your county. Because if you come back over here to Arizona and Maricopa where I live, guess what? That means that if somebody wants to come and say that they own that house from you and it's not recorded in your county, they're not going to think, well, we should check all the counties across the U.S. One, there's too many. That's too much of a cost. And two, they're not going to do that. So you just lost your house, Jack. Doesn't make any sense. So don't do it. And then the third thing are points, okay? And what points are the interest rates. And the easiest way I can explain this is interest rates are like a teeter-totter. If you have a higher interest rate, you have lower cost. If you have a lower interest rate, you have higher cost. It's on a teeter-totter system, okay? And
to explain what points are even further, so you can calculate the cost. We're all adults here, so I don't need to go into huge detail about it. But 1 point equals 1% of the loan amount. So if you hear a banker say your loan costs 2 points on a $100,000 home, it's $2,000. Anything above and beyond that, if you have special questions about what that means, it's just basic math. Grab a calculator. You can divide it out. Or multiply it out. It's pretty simple. Okay? Now, question 9, what will my monthly payment be? That, again, is once we have all the information. So once we've gone over what your goal is, that's the biggest thing. Can we accomplish your goal? That's why we ask questions up front. If we're not going to accomplish it, we're not going to waste your time. We might throw a few other ideas out there that might help you out better, but we're not going to waste your time and just be like, yeah, we can accomplish it, and then come back and it was a total waste of time. That never happens. We're going to put our best foot forward. We're going to look into it and see what we can do, okay? But once we know what your income level is, once we've pulled your credit, once we know the size of the loan, once we have that figured out, and then we start looking at cost associated with the loan, which again are the three items. So once we pull all three of those together and figure out what the interest rate's going to be specifically, that's going to tell us what the payment on your mortgage is. Now, I have people that, oh no, that just seems like that doesn't seem realistic when they hear a payment. Those are the people that are sheep. They're very afraid of moving forward because something spooked them. Don't understand this. But then again, who am I to tell them that they could save thousands of dollars each year by switching to mortgages? And then there are the other people. Well, that won't fit in my budget, or I don't like it. I'd like to address both of those. Fitting within your budget, I clearly know right now from looking at your finances, because we just had a discussion about it, it does fit within your finances, and it actually puts you in a better spot. Because again, legally, we cannot offer a loan that doesn't put you in a financially better position. So, I know it fits within the budget, but the age-old, I don't like that. I don't like that. You don't like the what? You don't like the payment? You don't like the rate? You don't like the loan amount? What don't you like? Because right now you sound like a child throwing a temper tantrum just saying, I don't like that. This is, I can't reiterate this enough. This is not a, I'm going to get the best of a lender situation. Everybody thinks that. But now that we're regulated, we all play by the same rules. So I can wholeheartedly say the payment will fit within your budget very comfortably. Now, number 12, I'm going to skip number 11 because that was another cost question that I've already addressed. But number 12, how often will I be updated on the loan's progress? So this is one that I know actually, and I'll put fault on the lender here, because I know I've been putting a lot of fault on the borrowers right now, but I'll put fault on the lender here. This is where a lot of lenders falter. I worked for a huge company when I first started the mortgage industry. Started it as a loan advisor, then I went into processing, then I went back to advisor, and then I switched companies. And then I switched companies again to where I'm here at now. Okay, so there's a quick background story for me. But the first company I was at as a processor actually opened my eyes up to how it truly should be done. Because over the last two companies I've worked at, don't quite have it figured out. But if we're being an honest company and we're reaching out and we're being honest about how the actual overall industry is, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know how often you will be updated. I can tell you what has worked in the past and made customers happy. And that is once every 3 days, you should be talking to that borrower. You should never go more than 4 days without talking to a borrower at the very max. So what that means is once a week, sometimes twice a week, you're getting a heads up. And it could be as much as we need all these documents, X, Y, and Z, when are we getting them in, kind of conversation. Or it could be as simple as, hey, we don't need anything from you. Just wanted to let you know that we're still working on these items on our end. But pretty basic stuff, okay? But that, again, that comes down to the lender. I've seen lenders that just blatantly don't call their borrowers back. The loan's dead. They don't call them to even tell them that. Now, the last question here is, how long until my loan closes? Industry standard states right now that a loan should close anywhere from 30 to 45 days. That's how long industry, in quotation marks, says. At the first lender I worked at, we were closing loans in that time frame, you know, 30 to 35 days on average. Second lender, when we started the company, we were at about 60 days. By the time I left that company, we were at right about 30 days. So it was awesome. The current company I'm at right now, we're sitting between 30 and 60 days right now. Okay, so it generally will fluctuate, but it's not common, not unheard of, but not common to close less than 30 days. And I get borrowers on the phone all the time. I feel like this loan's been dragging on for a long time here, Bree. What's going on? And then I look and I'm like, dude, you've been in process for 15 days. What are we talking about? This isn't a personal loan. You would have gotten that, and yeah, you would have gotten that in like, what, 3 days? Fine. This is a mortgage. It's a much bigger financial transaction. And it's a legal transaction, mind you, not on like, you know, a personal loan. Not legal. There's not really too many, you know, rules with that, again, that we have. So with that, I'd say expect as soon as 30, but don't be surprised if it goes beyond that. But again, I'm throwing a lot of information out here right now. I'm really wordy right now because I'm coming up on 26 minutes. This is how passionately I feel about the mortgage industry, though. So if you find yourself with some dead time and you want to listen to this, check it out. These are the mortgage myths, again, brought to you from NerdWallet today and their myths that they've listed out. If you have any specific questions, do me a favor, just shoot me a message. As a disclaimer, again, I will not go over specific interest rates or costs or any in-detail things with you. But if you want me to explain what's going on with your mortgage, I can at least explain that to you. So shoot me a message, give me some details, and I can explain what's going on. Or better yet, send me the documents, and I can at least explain it to you. So that way you understand in the best possible way what's going on. I do not want to see anybody struggle. So if there's anything I can be doing, let me know. I hope you guys had a great time listening to this. You got a lot of information from it. If there's anything that you need, I'm here. Have a good night.